Whether you're a first-time wine drinker or a wine aficionado, Justin has a wine for every celebration and occasion. Since 1981, Justin has been producing world-class Bordeaux-style wines from Paso Robles on California's Central Coast. The Justin team believes that the wine should be exceptional from every angle, which is why their team uses boutique winemaking practices like hand harvesting and hand sorting. With a rich history of accolades, Justin produces exceptional wines and is proud to be America's number one luxury Cabernet. Enjoy exceptional wines all season long with Justin. Whether it's for seasonal celebrations, festive dinner parties, or gift exchanges, Justin Wine is sure to make your holidays memorable. Pick up Justin Wine today at a store near you. Visit justinwine.com and enter Playbook 20 for 20% off your order. Justin offers the perfect holiday gifts for clients, colleagues, friends, or family. Be sure to check them out at justinwine.com to receive 20% off your order for a limited time.
All right, everyone. As part of your requests for me to interview some highly successful, loving, caring, kind, smart individuals, I couldn't think of a more appropriate interview, collaboration, discussion than a very, very dear friend of mine that I've known for many, many years. He has built numerous businesses. He is a coach to many, many people, just like I am. He's got podcasts, TV shows. He's a best-selling author. He has built an empire in the past that was worth over $100 million, only to watch it crash to zero in bankruptcy, took what he learned, and then built it back up again, but in a different industry. Why do I have him on today? Number one, his heart, just loving, caring, kind all the time. Two, wickedly smart, and he understands the journey. He understands the inner game journey. He understands the heart game. He understands the strategy game. And that means he understands you and me very well. So let's not take any more time. And here's how this is going to go. I'm going to ask him a whole bunch of questions that I think you will want to know the answers to. I think I know a few of you a little bit. Then I'm going to let you ask him questions so that you can, like, you know, connect with him. You already know this. Follow the guy. He's all over social media. So just follow him. We'll put some links. He'll also give you some stuff. So follow him. If he offers it, this isn't about selling any, but if you're on any of his other stuff and he offers something, it's always worth it. He gives insane value. So that's it. That's the only, you know, so-called pitch you're going to hear. All right. If I love him and respect him, then I transfer that over to at least look into what he's doing. So without further ado, Mr. David Meltzer. Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Thank you so much. Hopefully that's recorded as seen because, wow, you know, if somebody would have told me 18 years ago as I lived in San Diego, surrounding myself with the wrong people and the wrong ideas, that not only would you be one of my closest friends for the last two decades, but I would someday receive an introduction even half as nice as that. I would have told you I must be doing something right, finally. And although I spend minutes and moments outside of that human experience, I tell you, you have made my day, and I'm going to go back and listen to that intro many times. So thank you.
It has been something that has been earned by you for me to just share how I really feel about you. So I don't give those lightly. And so, David, let's start off with, I know a lot of times people might look at, you know, where you're at, where I'm at, and they forget sometimes our journey, right? The trials, the tribulations, the shame, the guilt, the failures. Take us on the journey. Just tell us, like, tell us the journey in your word. Go.
I always say it's a journey of three worlds. And I visit the other worlds comparatively to where I'm at today. But I grew up in a world of not enough. Single mom. My dad left when I was five, cheated on my mom. I had six kids in my family, five boys and a girl. my mom was all about education was going to get us out of Akron, Ohio, and the financial despair that we were in. The only interference, or what other people define as unhappiness in my life, was financial. That was the only thing. My mom was extraordinary. She cooked well. She lied and told us all how great we were. She was extremely supportive in every manner. And it worked, because my siblings especially are extremely successful, and they utilize academics, Harvard, Penn, Columbia, graduating summa cum laude, to get to where they wanted to be or better. I took a little different route. I was born genetically and energetically with an academic skill set that was, you know, made school easy for me. So I didn't do poorly. I'm the only one in my family ever to get a B, and I got one B in high school. And you'd have thought, you know, I was the very low end of the gene pool for getting
what's
that B.
What's a B? Is it exactly better or worse than the B's and F's that I got?
Yeah, I know your journey, and my mom was a black belt in the martial arts, though. I tease her, a third degree black belt in the martial art of Jewish guilt. And so those grades were very high in my family. But I wanted to be rich. It was plain and simple. In the world of not enough, you're a victim. You can literally feel punished because of, for me, the academic, the financial stresses in my life. I just felt punished all the time. Like, I'm smarter than that guy. I work harder than that guy. I'm better looking. That one was wrong, but I thought I was. And my mom told me that. And so I just want to tell people that no matter how much you have, I still slip into the world of not enough, where I'm a victim. Well, I wanted to be rich for one reason. I wanted to relieve my mom of the only stress I saw in her life, which was financial, the car, the schools, the summer camps, the things we could afford, the food stamps. And then I went and followed all these different journeys until I graduated law school, where I made a financial decision, despite my mom wanting me to be a real lawyer. I wanted to be an oil and gas litigator because, believe it or not, they made the most money out of law school. That was the only reason. I didn't care about the environment. I didn't care either side of the fence. All I wanted to do was buy my mom a house and a car. And I got a job offer for $150,000 plus bonus out of law school in 1992. Wow. But I also got offered a job in the internet selling legal research online for $250,000 comp plan. Now, $250,000 was more than $150,000. So despite my mom telling me the internet was a fad and I'd be back to the law and I had to take the bar just when the internet didn't work. So I took the $250,000 a year job, and I ended up 9 months out of law school becoming a millionaire at 25 years old in 1993. In 1995, we exited to Thomson Reuters, and it was a $3.4 billion exit with a B in 1995. That was a lot. I expanded my skills, knowledge, and desire away from the law, but into technology and also venture capital. So I went to the Silicon Valley, raised hundreds of millions of dollars. And by the time I was 31 years old, I lived in a different world. I wasn't punished anymore. I lived in this optimistic, philanthropic world of for me. And you've heard people, oh, the universe is for me, John. It's for me. Everything's for me. But unfortunately, with my background, everything was a trade or negotiation. It was a quid pro quo for me. So everything was for me, but I lived in a world of scarcity because I was trading and even giving. Right, I believe the more I gave, the more I would receive. So I always expected something back when I gave. And
trading.
And unfortunately, too, the universe confirmed a theory, but I didn't understand it, which was I truly believe money would buy me love and happiness. And then I actually am one of the few people that believed it did. I actually at one time would have told you there's no doubt in my mind that money buys me love and happiness. But what I didn't realize until I lost everything and went bankrupt, at the time, by the way, And when I was 31, I was CEO of Samsung's data division. We had the world's first data device, which was called a convergence device, a Windows device, not an Apple, a Windows device. And then I, because of my venture and my my venture experience and technology experience, Lee Steinberg, of all people, Jerry Maguire, the most notable sports agency in the world, he hires me to be CEO of the world's most renowned sports agency, not because I'm a great lawyer, not because I'm a great sports agent, but because he saw the future of sports and technology and venture. And so my skills and knowledge and desire aligned with where he wanted his agency to be in the future. Very valuable lesson, by the way, for entrepreneurs. It is the skills, the knowledge, and desire, not somehow being a sports agent and working my way up, landed me the job as the most notable sports agent in literally the world, CEO of that agency. Well, at that time, I learned a valuable lesson because I lost everything. And it was that money doesn't buy love or happiness. It just allows you to shop. And if you shop for the right things for the right reasons, it will bring a lot of happiness. But if you surround yourself with the wrong ideas and the wrong people and shop for the wrong reasons, you're going to find a lot more interference in your journey, your potential. And so my journey led me when I lost everything. In the poignant moment, just so you know, and John knows my wife, and he knows where I've been married 27 years. And I will tell you a great line, John. You'll love this because it applies to you, by the way. Behind every amazing man is an amazing woman, but also there's an amazed woman. When I realized I had a problem was when I came home from the Grammy Awards with a rapper named Little John, and I lied to my wife about going because she told me I wasn't paying attention to my family. I was partying too much. I wasn't paying attention to my finances. I was worth over $100 million running the most notable sports agency in the world, going to the Grammy Awards with a Grammy Award winning rapper. And I came home wasted out of my mind at 5:30 in the morning to my wife, who told me she wasn't happy. She told me she was leaving. She told me to take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become, or else I would be dead. And she was not going to allow my three daughters, who were under 10 years old, be around me anymore. And I went to bed that night thinking how much I hated my wife. I hated my best friend, who also told me a similar thing. I hated my mom and my dad, who also tried to tell me that I was not acting appropriately. And my mindset at the time was, how is it that these four people don't think about me the same way everyone else around me thinks about me? And I woke up in the morning hating those four people, and then realizing, because I ended up seeing a jacket that my father had given me when I was 30 with no pockets, that I told him I hated him when he gave it to me because he said he didn't give it to me to wear. He gave it to me to hang in the closet because money would not buy happiness or love. And he was just like me. And I told him he's nothing like me. He was a liar, a cheater, a manipulator, overseller, back-end seller. And I hated him. I looked at that jacket full of hate and realized I only hated one person, myself. I was a liar, a cheater, a manipulator, an overseller, and a back-end seller, just like my dad. And
the cradle and the silver spoon.
Exactly, which is tears me up every time I hear that song. But more importantly, I created values. And here's the cool thing. I begged my wife to stay with me. And she said she would only if I continually tried to change. So this is very important because I always tell my wife, if you would have told me I'll stay with you, but the next time I catch you drinking or using drugs or lying or cheating or manipulating, I'm going to leave you, she would have left me. But she didn't say that. She said, David, I know if you put your intention to it, that if you try, that you will change and I will help you change. And to me, that was important. Ironically, that's when I became friends with John Assaroff, because my wife was a big fan of John's and The Secret. I had told her that movie was bullshit and that I would, you know, never. And I got into transformation, joined the Transformation Leadership Council. Obviously, my journey moved from not enough, from just enough, to a world of more than enough of everything for everyone, seeking wisdom and faith every day to better myself, to make more money, help more people, and have more fun.
Mm. Thank you. I love that. Thanks for sharing the journey. How many of you just feel like he's another human on the path like I am, right? Highs, lows, challenges, good stuff, challenging stuff, constructive, destructive, empowering, disempowering, positive, negative, we want to call it. Just another human on the show. So now that we have the foundation, David, let's shift, if we can, to the world of entrepreneurship. Many of the people here, you know, are solopreneurs, solo professionals. They may have one or two or three or four or five employees, maybe some more, full-time, part-time, you know. What have you discovered about the world of entrepreneurship, building a business? Like, what are some of the pearls? You coach a ton of people. What are some of the pearls that people that are here right now can take those pearls of wisdom and apply them to expand, grow, make their businesses thrive?
Yeah, there's some simple ones. One, behaviors. Behaviors are important to understand, and we want to align our behavior each day with where we want to be or better. Not where other people want us to be, not what's missing and not what we don't have, but where we want to be. And so we want to construct our behaviors to align with it. In fact, I define good behaviors, and they're personal to me. My good behaviors are always aligned with where I want to be or think I want to be or better. My bad behavior interferes with that. And my bad behavior may be your good behavior, believe it or not. And your good behavior may be my bad behavior. And so the first thing I want people to do is to take inventory of the daily practices, the behaviors. I also integrate time in my understanding of behaviors. Time is a very interesting thing. There's two different time zones, and it's really difficult for entrepreneurs to understand both time zones. And that's because we always want things to happen as we want them to happen, when we want them to happen. And that's why 90% of entrepreneurs fail, is because they want what they want to happen, when they want to happen, and they don't understand time. And they don't use man-made constructive time, human experience time, within the realm of infinite time. And so when we understand good behaviors are behaviors that get us to where we want to be or better, bad behaviors interfere with it, and it's only personal to me. And then two, I must utilize the man-made construct time in alignment with where I want to be or better by minimizing the amount of time that I interfere with it. So what we do is break down each day into a 24-hour period, because it's the only common denominator of the human experience. You are guaranteed, as an entrepreneur especially, you are guaranteed 24 hours a day of human experience, except for the last day of your life, you will be cheated. And so as an entrepreneur, utilize the 24 hours as if you're guaranteed those 24 hours, except for the last day, you'll be cheated seconds, minutes, or hours. I promise you, when you start seeing the man-made constructive human experience time of 24 hours, you'll start realizing that our goal should be to be as productive as we can, to provide as much value, to be as accessible as we can, not only accessible to others, but accessing what we want, and to be as gracious, gratitude, to find the light, the love, and the lessons so that we live in the world of more than enough. And so how do we do that? Well, we start each day by saying, what is it I want today? Not only professionally, but personally, experientially, giving wise, receiving wise, according to the circumstances of today, the human experience, flat tires, interest rates, challenges, whatever it may be, what is it we want today in context of what circumstances exist today? And then we align the meaning of the past with where we want to be in the future, considering what we want today and the circumstances today. Why? Because the meaning you give the failures, setbacks, mistakes, successes, defining moments, historical relevances of your past in your entrepreneurial journey, the meaning that you give it is what will limit your future. And so many people don't align the meaning. And sometimes it's just silly meaning that we do. I've had someone tell me when I was speaking in Paris at the World Football Summit, they said, well, what about the French-American War? And I was like, what the heck? You're going to give a meaning to the French-American War that's going to stop your business? You know, this is literally a ludicrous example, but that's what people do. They give meaning to the failures, setbacks, and mistakes. Imagine if I gave the meaning to walking up to my mom's house after going bankrupt. The only reason I wanted to be rich was to buy my mom that house. What if I gave the meaning of telling her that I was bankrupt and that I had lost her house as a punishment, as shame of my limitation of who I can be? What, like most people do with any smaller failure. My basement had a basement. I remember telling my mom at that time, why am I being punished? There must not be a God. I don't believe in God. And my mom looked at me and said, son, oh, you believe in God. You just believe in the wrong God. And it was so true. The meaning that I give my basement of basements is one of protection, promotion, and love. Therefore, I'm always seeking through gratitude, not only wisdom, but faith that there's something bigger than me, an omniscient, all power source that loves me, protects me, and promotes me more than my mom. And why do I believe that? Best option. Anytime I can't prove something, I figure I might as well take the best option to believe it. I might as well take the best option to believe in. So people ask me about multiple lifetimes. I believe there's genetic and energetic inheritances of millions of lifetimes. And people are like, that's stupid. I said, yeah, probably is. But here's the thing. I can't prove whether there's one life or millions of lives. So I love life. So I might as well take the best option to believe in millions of lifetimes until somebody can prove to me there's only one life. Now, if you don't like life, then I suggest you your best option, like I said, good behavior or bad behavior, is there's only one life and go ahead, suffer through this lifetime since you only believe in one of them, or make the best of it. It's your choice. So what we really want to do as entrepreneurs, though, is to, number one, know what we want. And then here's the best piece of advice, John. And this is the hardest one for entrepreneurs. Know your who. You see, most people live in nothingness. They're tubes. Food in, food out. 99% of the people quit within a short amount of time because they're stuck on wanting what they want when they want it, when that's not the way the infinite works. If we break it down into what is it I want today according to the circumstances, and who can I help, and who can help me? Why? Because the fastest way to get to where you want to be as an entrepreneur is find someone that's already there and ask them for directions. But also find someone who wants to be where you are and give them directions. Pull up a seat next to you as well. It's a duality that most people don't realize that we need to do both. And that's why you're in this group, right? John's one of those people that sits in a situation that I want to be, and therefore I asked him for help. And I sit in a situation where others want to be, and I provide assistance. Because the minute you live in nothingness, if you know what you want, it's a possibility. If you know who, it's a probability. Now you can go ahead and execute utilizing time.
And let's make one thing 100% clear, everybody. I've been graced with the gift of being on Dave's TV shows multiple times and podcasts, and I've seen some of the magic he has created. And after the last time I was in Las Vegas and we were in phenomenal studio, I asked him if I could pick the brains of several of his team members. And he's like, of course you can. Like, Ask them whatever you want. And Nick, who I think may be listening right now, he and I went out for sushi, and he's just a rock star of intelligence and giving. And I talked with Dave's social media head, and they just filled me with what they're doing to crush it right now. So it goes back and forth, everybody. So so just be aware of that as well. He is willing to receive as graciously as he's willing to give as well, which he does beautifully. David, let me shift for just a moment, if I can, to some of the tactical stuff that you and your team are doing. Because, you know, you have coaching programs. I get it. You've got your books. You've got your speaking. You've got all the stuff that you do, very similar to me, to help many, many people. And you and I are very aligned. And one of my goals is to positively impact the lives of a billion people while I'm alive or after this body is dead. And I know you have the same, you know, same vision of impacting positively, you know, at least a billion people. What are some of the tactical things you and your team are doing now to reach your specific audience? If you can give us the tactical stuff.
There's two things that we do. One, we are all students of our calendar. Now, let me explain this to you. So we talked about the behaviors. So I have non-negotiables and negotiables. And so for me, I understand physics, quantum physics, and metaphysics to understand energy has three characteristics. One, it aggregates, it attracts more like energy. Two, it accelerates, which gives us faster results. And three, it creates exponential results, which is very gratifying. And so, you know, it may take us 90% of the time to get to 25% of the way there. And that's why most people quit before they get to 25% of the way there, because they are not aware of or capable of understanding outcomes. And it takes about 90% of an effort to be aware of any type of outcome that's aligned with where we want to be or better. So most people quit, but it only takes another 5% till it gets to 50% of the way there. Then it only takes another 5% to get to 100% of the way there. That's the aggregation, acceleration, and compounding. So people quit along the way, 99%, then 99% of the 1%, then 99% of the 1%. And so to understand how we use our behaviors, so start with the non-negotiables in your life. What are you committed to doing every day, 7 days a week? And put time to it. So for me, I have a minimum of 7 hours a day for sleep. I have a sleep coach for 17 years. I recover and access information as my purpose of sleep. I recover better than most people on earth, and I access information better than most people on earth for 7 hours minimum a day. And most people go to bed at night and they go to sleep and they wake up more tired than they went to sleep, which is crazy to me. Imagine going out to eat for 7 hours and waking and leaving the restaurant after 7 hours of eating and you're hungry. You would think something's wrong, but most people don't get help sleeping. I have a sleep coach and mentor for 17 years. Then I go, that's non-negotiable. Now I have 17 hours of awake time. About 3 to 4 hours a day, I have non-negotiable time, number one, on my health. A minimum of an hour a day, 7 days a week, I am committed, no matter what, non-negotiable, to taking care of myself, my health. If you are healthy, you get as many wishes as you want each day. If you are unhealthy, you will only have one wish, I promise you. And that's a better option for me. So I spend a minimum of an hour a day of placing my attention and giving the five levels of intention, doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing in alignment with where I want to be or better for my health. Then goes to family, minimum of 30 minutes with my unbelievable, amazed wife, minimum 30 minutes with my 14-year-old son, a minimum of 2 minutes a day with my 25, 23, and 20-year-old daughters. I asked for five, they gave me two. But remember, 2 minutes a day, committed, consistent behavior, good behavior, 2 minutes a day is worth 2 hours on a Saturday. So you can start seeing how efficiency, effectiveness, and statistical success plays into time, attention, and intention. Then I have a minimum amount of time on my time, my study time, on my faith, on my finance. So that leaves me 14 hours a day of variant behavior. a variant behavior. See, human beings, they hate consistency. That literally, you ever hear the statement, the simple things to do are unfortunately simple not to do? Take saying thank you, for example. It takes 0.1 seconds to say thank you. It is free. Every great world thought leader that John and I get to hang out with, they preach, teach, scream at the top of the mountain how important gratitude is. They know it has the most impact of anything. But by tonight, that simple thing to do becomes simple not to do, because half of us won't do it. Then the next day, half of us won't do it. Then within 3 days, almost all of us won't do it. Why? Because human beings hate consistent behavior. So it's the variant behavior that only creates 10% of the results. It's the committed, consistent behavior that creates 90% of the results that we want or better. And so it's the variant behavior that allows us to enjoy the consistent behavior. So it's important to prioritize the variant behavior, as I aforementioned, according to the circumstances of the day, aligning the meaning of the past, increasing our self-image. Knowing as an entrepreneur, you will never overachieve your own self-image. You will never overachieve your own self-image. I had a woman today I was coaching. She was talking about raising $50,000 for her children program. And I said, why are you limiting yourself? I don't even understand why you would want to raise $50,000 when there's $50 million out there. It doesn't make sense to me. Let's start expanding our skills, knowledge, and desire beyond what we currently believe is our self-image.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, everyone. I want to take a moment to talk about gratitude. In our fast-paced lives, we often forget to appreciate the people around us. And sometimes we even forget to appreciate ourselves. So today, let's pause and give thanks not only to others, but also to ourselves for the hard work we put in every day. It's so important to recognize that doing our best, especially in challenging times, is an accomplishment. Now, have you ever thought about starting therapy, or if you're looking for a new perspective, consider giving BetterHelp a try. Therapy offers tools to build resilience, set boundaries, and grow into the best version of yourself. And with BetterHelp, everything is designed to be convenient and flexible, fully online to fit right into your schedule. Let the gratitude flow with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/playbook today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/playbook.
As the weather starts to cool down, I'm really excited about everything this season brings. New opportunities, fresh goals, and yes, even the wardrobe change. I love the feeling of shifting gears as fall kicks in, whether it's in business or life. So as we all make the transition, I hope you're as excited as I am to embrace the season with a new perspective and maybe a few wardrobe upgrades from Quince. Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. And they partner with them directly, cutting out the cost of the middleman and passing the savings on to you. I recently picked up their Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweater and an incredible performance chino pants, and they've quickly become go-to staples for me as someone who's constantly traveling for speaking engagements or business meetings. I need clothes that not only look great but also feel amazing, and these pieces absolutely deliver. Upgrade your wardrobe with pieces made to last with Quince. Go to quince.com/playbook for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and a 365-day returns. quince.com/playbook. For me, the non-negotiable and negotiable time is so important. So I break it down each day in the 24 hours. Activities I have planned. I actually study, John, the activities I don't have planned. Why is that? See, if you come up with a well-developed plan, God will laugh at you. And so I need a parking place when God laughs at me, so I reprioritize my day. This is all about prioritizing the 24 hours with good behavior, with what's important to me or better, because prioritization is the antidote to the entrepreneur killer. Prioritization is the antidote to the entrepreneur killer. The entrepreneur killer is feeling overwhelmed and procrastinating. It is literally impossible if you prioritize what's important to you each day, according to the circumstances of the day, aligning the meaning of the past and giving yourself a bigger and brighter self-image of where you want to be or better. It is impossible not to get shit done. Why? Because if you prioritize, you'll know your now and you'll know your next. And 100% of the things you do now get done. And 100% of the things you do next get done. I call it din-din. Do it now, do it next. And if you prioritize that, you will be more productive, accessible, and gracious, obviously more efficient, effective, and statistically successful in the good behaviors that will aggregate, accelerate, and compound exponentially your outcomes that you don't know or understand today that are becoming and getting you to a better place, a better position, or a better situation, keeping you protected, promoted, and loved, not punished. You are dissipating and dissolving the interference between you and your potential.
I love it. One of the things that I've often shared and teach, and I have a program called How to Get More Done in Less Time. And first thing I teach is there is no such thing as time management, so to speak. All we can do is manage what we do in blocks of time, whether it's an hour, 10 hours, 24 hours. And you've become very, very good. And your team has become very, very good at studying your calendar every day. And everybody here has learned that, you know, we focus on at the right time, what are my high income producing activities? Get those on your calendar. And then what are my high impact producing activities? And in many cases, the high impact activities lead to the high income activities. And that should be the focus, you know, for yourself. And you can apply this in your life as well. How much of your time are you investing, you know, being out there between your social media, your TV shows, like getting your message, your knowledge, your expertise to the world?
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of people talk about being content creators. I don't believe in content creation. I believe in content capture. I can hire people to create content off of the content that I capture in writing, video, audio. And so I use Shakespeare as my inspiration because I'm still fascinated how Shakespeare thousands of years ago knew the whole world was his stage, because at that time it wasn't, but it is today. Hamlet is known all over the world. I hope Dave Meltzer is known as well as Hamlet someday. That would be a huge expectation, but I hope so. But more importantly, realize that the whole world today is everybody's stage. So capturing content is critical, because if we capture what we do, we can then modify it for all platforms that exist today and in the future. We can amplify it through multiple channels. And most importantly, we can perpetuate that content to create a social silo to increase and stimulate interest, transition interest, share a vision, and even with AI, manage and develop a vision so that we create a bigger community of people that want to help one another and know people that can help one another. Why is that my mission through capturing my essence, my content? Because if I create a community, which I am building in the millions of people who want to help each other and know people that can help each other, they will buy from each other and sell for each other for life. So you talked about the impact and why the profitability follows the passion and the purpose. It's because of the community, the frequency, the neighborhood that you're able to create today because of the unbelievable size, scope, and scale of the audience. And the bigger the names around you and the bigger the stages around you, the more access you'll have to a bigger community. And so for me, I take my daily activities and I prioritize them, planned, unplanned, paid for, unpaid for, and sleep. And I look to see where can I capture my activities that best represent my essence, my skills, my knowledge, and my desire, and then create a system to reposit those lessons and stories that are most amplified or exhibited by my behaviors. And then I create and build slowly but surely a whole team of modifiers, a whole team of amplifiers, and a whole team of perpetuation people in order to facilitate a larger community. And this is what most people, most entrepreneurs don't realize, because they'll ask me, do you think I should do content? I go, you're doing content now. You're just not capturing it. So if you're asking me, should you capture your essence? Yes. It'll never be this inexpensive and this powerful. And so I'm going to share a piece of news of what I did in this realm. I have a budget for this, and it's a very large budget now, but it started with a very small budget. And my mission was to build this community. What I realized recently is that it's getting more expensive and more competitive to build a community because people are catching on. So what I did is I licensed, and we're going to be announcing this October 26th at the Archives of Napoleon Hill in Wise, Virginia. But I licensed the rights to the community, the trademarks and brands of Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich. Why? Because you're my audience, you're my community, you're my neighborhood. Most of you know who Napoleon Hill is. Most of you probably don't know who Gary Vee is. Napoleon Hill gets 100 times the Google searches that Gary Vee gets each day, 100 times. And so by licensing a community that gives me access to that community, I now can amplify what I capture and modify to the Napoleon Hill community. So I now can have a Sirius XM station called Napoleon Hill. I have Napoleon Hill TV. I have the Napoleon Hill certified coaches. I have no, and my initial friends were like, David, you're going to, diminish your brand. Well, that's, my brand is my community. I'm actually elevating my brand because I now have access to a community of people that resonate with me. And so the Dave Meltzer brand, it's been 100 years or more that Napoleon Hill and Clements were building a community of people that resonate with my ideas, because I learned from Think and Grow Rich. I learned from Outwitting the Devil. All the people that I know that resonate with me love those things, like Wayne Dyer, who learned from Napoleon Hill, and Sharon Lecter and John Atwood. We all learned from Napoleon Hill. You got to think in these ways to build your business by building your community of people that are going to buy from you and sell for you.
David, I don't know if you're aware of this, but for the 50th anniversary of Think and Grow Rich, I did the keynote for
Don Green.
Don Green on the neuroscience of Think and Grow Rich. So I did that in LA for them. And so
You're going to be part of my news. You were one of my first calls. And we also are in the movie Think and Grow Rich, which was really fun, because the only carve out I had in my license was they said, well, you can't license a movie. It was already done. And I said, I know, I'm in there with John Assaroff.
Awesome. So David, for the entrepreneurs that are listening, what I want to do is I want to ask you one final question. Answer in less than 2 minutes. We're going to do, I know you have a hard stop in 17 minutes. I want to respect that. As far as we have entrepreneurs here in every type of business. So it's not just, coaches or consultants, there's doctors, surgeons, lawyers. I mean, every type of business. So very similar to your audience. You're talking about time and aligning your behaviors, with the things that you want to achieve every single day and really being strict on that. You talked about sleep being critically important for you, where you're resting and manifesting. So doing a lot of that. What is it that your daily routine is from morning until night? If you can just give us that with your team, by yourself, you've got 120 seconds. Go.
Good. My day starts at night, so I have an unwinding routine so that I'm in a position to recover and access information by 9 p.m. No alcohol, no caffeine. So I'm in a position to do that. Then I wake up at 4, transcend the information by meditation for 20 minutes. I then get ready to work out. So it takes 10 minutes at 4:30 to 5:30. I exercise, varying exercises, balance, stretching, strength, cardio. Then I study from 5:30 to 6:30, then family time from 6:30 to 7:30, then study my calendar from 7:30 to 8. Then I execute on the activities I had planned and unplanned from that 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. Then at 5 p.m., I take an hour and a half with my family again. And then 6:30 till 9 o'clock, the unwinding routine, I have variant behavior that could include more of whatever it is that I want to do within that context. So it's free time, but intentional. It could be relaxing, snuggling my wife or kids, or it could be studying, whatever it is. And then back to the unwinding routine.
So a very specific routine, and that is your constructive, empowering success routine. How many of you have heard this before, that you've got to develop a routine for yourself, an empowering, constructive, build you up routine? And once you get that for your sleep, your study, your spirituality, your health, wealth, relationships, career, business, that's where you get into this flow. All right. When you get off course, what do you do?
So I have a stop, drop, and roll mechanism. So I don't believe in trying to figure out what I'm afraid of. Too difficult. But I'll tell you what's instant and obvious. This is my number one hack in life. And it's actually learned from things I've learned from John. So the reaction to fear is instant and obvious. Fear is omnipresent, but the reaction to fear is instant and obvious. When you're pissed off, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, when you have a need to be right, separate, inferior, superior, all of those things are instant and obvious. So instead of trying to resist it, go over it, under it, through it, around it, when I identify through clues and patterns how I'm reacting to fear, instead of resisting, I stop. I breathe through my nose, out through my mouth. I drop down to center. I recollect with source, remind, remember with an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing God who loves me, protects me, and promotes me more than anything. And then I roll back into what I want, who I can help, who can help me, and how to get it done. I reprioritize, in other words. So for me, I use man-made constructive time to shorten the distance of resistance by identifying how I react to fear, which is not omnipresent every day. I'm afraid of something. I don't waste my time trying to figure out what I'm afraid of. I actually minimize the amount of time I spend accelerating in the wrong direction, resisting my potential. I use wisdom and faith to shorten that distance of resistance in my life. In other words, when your mind, body, and soul are on fire, stop, drop, and roll.
Stop, drop, and roll. All right. Let's do this, David. We have literally 12 minutes left. We're going to do three questions. Everybody, you know my rules. Who are you? What do you do? Quickly. And then I don't want to hear a story for 4 minutes because you're going to be out of time. We are timing this. You have 4 minutes. Carolyn, choose the first victim.
Absolutely. I'm going to choose Natalia first. If anyone else wants to go, just raise your hand by hitting the react button at the bottom of the screen and then hit raise hand. Take it away, Natalia.
Nice to see you again.
And John, beautiful seeing you. Thank you for sharing the wisdom. I have a question regarding the surrender. So it felt like when you
You surrender. Well, David, what do you do?
Yes, sure. I'm a new biohacker and the quantum therapist. So I bridge the gap between science, technology, and spirituality and study the consciousness-body connection so we can activate the innate potential of a human being and the true self versus outsourcing that to the technology. So the question here is that I've heard between the lines that on your journey, you surrendered to the higher power to take the flow of your day life to the next extent. So maybe you can share a little bit on your protocol. Whom do you surrender to? How did it look like in your life? And appreciate. Yeah,
I definitely have faith. And surrendering is difficult within the context of human nature because people immediately think that we're passive. For me, to surrender is to have faith that there's something bigger than me, an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing source that loves me, protects me, and promotes me more than my mom. And so therefore, the surrender is to not attach my emotion, my energy emotion, to something I have no control of. The thing I have control of, my free will, is determined upon two things, my behaviors and my reaction to fear. Those things I have control of, and it is a very ferocious activity to have committed, consistent behavior that gives me the best results and to minimize the amount of time that I stay in the collective consciousness or individual consciousness of the reaction to fear. And so for me, surrendering is a very active, intentional behavior of being able to utilize commitment to consistency and dissipating or dissolving my reaction to fear in alignment with the circumstances of today, that's reality of human experience, and the meaning of my past, which gives me a perspective through gratitude and forgiveness to get me to where I want to be, and increasing my potential or my self-image, which is surrendering to something bigger than me, that I'm part and parcel. You see, I believe I'm part of the infinite, unified, abundant system of thought. Therefore, I have a very faithful confidence of not only giving more, but being given more and elevating my awareness to all that I'm given through gratitude and forgiveness, but also feeling worthy of receiving it. And even more importantly, illustrating my faith by even asking for more than more, so I can give more than more, be given more than more, receive more than more, and ask for more than more than more. So instead of living in the zero sum game of non-surrender, I surrender to the abundant, infinite, unified system of thought that I belong to.
That'll take a while to unpack.
Yeah, watch it again.
I love it. Yeah. No, that was a pile of wisdom in 60 seconds or less. Natalia, thank you so much. That.
Thank you, David.
Bye-bye. Carolyn is next.
All right, next up is going to be Mark Downey. Mark, I'll have you take it away. Remember, what do you do and where you're from?
Hello there, David. Thank you so much. I found your story inspirational, challenging, and left me with a bigger view on things. So thank you so much. I'm from Ireland, and I am a voice, speech, and presence coach. You're speaking about the better me part of yourself, that aspiration, that compass that you have, which is dialed into to this better me. How do you come about creating and visualizing that better me?
Great question. So I don't believe searching for things that exist like our why. I believe applying it. And so in order to find our potential or the better self, we have to look inside. And I'm sure the king of inner size himself would tell you, you can't find outside of you, especially your potential, that which doesn't exist inside of you. And so for me, I take inventory. I'm very pragmatic about this. I take inventory of my skills. I take inventory of my knowledge of who and what and my desires. And then I align them pragmatically with what's doing well, what's stable, and what I think is going to be doing well in the future. So whether it be industries, jobs, careers, activities, whatever it may be. And so this framework, this pragmatic approach to looking inside myself in order to reach a better self, a higher self, a Christ-like self, a potential self, at least gives people less of a woo-woo, you know, you can't find inside of you what you can't see outside of you. Well, no, let's look at how do we expand our skills? How do we expand our knowledge and expand our desire aligned with where we want to be or better? I don't believe in transitioning and pivoting. I know that the universe expands, and so am I. So if I am intentional about expanding the skills, knowledge, and desire aligned with the pragmatic world each day of what circumstances exist that are stable, doing well, or what I think is going to do well, I'm going to pragmatically reach my potential at a faster pace and a bigger potential.
Okay. Thank you. If I may, just the infinite time piece versus the human time piece, is that connected to what you've just said as well?
Sure. If you believe in an infinite time, then you'll look for behaviors that have an instant result called progress, not behaviors that have an instant result called outcomes. The outcomes that you see today have no relevance into your infinite potential. They have a relevance into a revelation that will occur in infinite time. So, for example, my basement having a basement when I lost everything, if I took and analyzed that outcome at the time that it happened, there's no way I wouldn't feel punished. I would feel effed. But instead, in the infinite time, I had faith and wisdom that said, okay, I don't know what I don't know. Human beings are incapable of understanding or knowing an instant outcome. Therefore, I'm going to continue to have committed, consistent behavior aligned with where I want to be or better, and allow this outcome to reveal the lessons and the faith that it was intended to reveal in the infinite time zone.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And one thing I want to add to that, thank you, Mark. One thing I want to add to that, everyone, is when we're talking about behavior, you know, I often say that we want to make sure that we're taking the right actions, or we're doing the right behaviors in the right time and in the right order. And so before we behave, and especially today, we can go to ChatGPT, and especially the new version of ChatGPT, and actually think and say, hey, here's the goal I want to achieve. Here's my circumstances, my conditions, my skills, my knowledge, my abilities, my resources. Help me chart a course to there, you know, that is efficient and effective. And the plan can be laid out for you way better than you and I may know, because it has the collective intelligence of an enormous amount of access to wisdom. David, it is 12:56. Do you have time for one more or no?
Yes. Yes.
One more. Carolyn?
All right. Carolyn, make it quick. You go, girl.
You're good.
Hi. My name is Karen Wendingle. I'm an artist and teacher. I love your concept of time. And I just wanted to know, what do you think about the importance of creativity?
Well, I call it co-creativity. And I think it's essential that we're all creative and co-creating. I think it's clearing the interference between us and what we actually, our potential is. And so whether it be, I call genius the expression of God, and that happens through creation. And art, by the way, is one of those ways to express God and to co-create with God or source or whatever you believe in. And I think it's essential to everything that we do. I spend a majority of time figuring out what I'm doing to interfere with my creativity, not create things. And I believe in that omniscient and all-powerful, infinite source of creativity. So that is essential. I do, with the last few minutes, John, if I could, I would love to offer everyone, I wrote a workbook called Creating the Book, Creating the Life I Love. And it was for this Unstoppable Foundation. So if anybody would like that workbook or any of my books, just if you email me, I will pay for the book, pay for shipping, I'll pay for everything. So don't, there's no $9.99 shipping on a $10 book. So it's just simply email me directly. He put it in there, Nick. He's right on fire. David@dmeltzer.com. If you need anything, you can email me. I do answer every email myself. So if you forget it, just reach out to John. He has all my contact information, and I give him the freedom to share whatever contact you'd like to have of mine. But if you'd like that book, I think it's a really great short workbook for everyone in co-creativity. Jack Canfield helped me with it, one of my mentors as well. David@dmeltzer.com. And I'll pay for the book, shipping. I'll sign it if you want to devalue it. I'm happy to do that. Boost my ego. It'll be wonderful. But most importantly, be more interested than interesting, and be kind to your future self. Do good deeds. I'm blessed to be a part of your life, John, and your community. And I'm blessed to have you as part of my life and my community as well. Anytime you want me back, just ask. And thank you, everyone, so much.
All right, everybody. Thank you, David. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, David.